We present The Sound of Football.
What you get in reverse is that come the end of the season, is it more financially prudent for a mid-table side to just roll over and die for someone like who could go straight back on their first season?
You'd have to say yes. You'd have to say yes.
Something worth thinking about, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it is worth it. Yeah. But what can you say? English football stinks. That's why I don't watch it.
Ladies and gentlemen, here we are in week 36 of the season, and finally the truth has come to light.
We can't cover it up any longer, Chris.
it took us 36 weeks to get there, but we finally admitted it. English football stinks.
That's the opening signature tune sequence sorted out for next week.
And it's a very warm welcome to episode 37, if I'm not mistaken, of The Sound of Football. Chris Oakley here, as ever, to talk and chew the fat generally about football. I'm very sorry to say that this week, once again, we haven't got the services of Terry DeFellin, our old chum. He's unfortunately laid low, been a bit unwell the last few days. So, Terry, if you're listening, I hope you get better soon. We need you back here for our end-of-season review next week. But in the meantime, I'm very pleased to say that I do have the company of Graham Sibley to fall back on. Welcome, Graham.
Hello.
Before we go on, I just thought I'd just deal with a bit of kind of existing hangover, shall we say, from last week. Because you may remember, those of you who were listening last week, we did have a competition. And we've been receiving your entries literally by the... Well, actually, I'll be honest, we didn't get any entries. But you and Terry, last week, Graham, were talking about Watford and whether they'd come up in successive seasons or something previously.
Yep.
I don't even remember that one. It all seems so long ago now. But I just thought, just out of interest, I'd do a bit of research. And it turns out you're pretty much spot on. When Graham Taylor went to Watford for his second stint in 1997, the following year they were in the third tier at the time, and the following year, 1997-98, they were champions. They went up to second tier, basically the Championship as we know it now. 98-99, they finished fifth, got into the playoffs, beat Bolton in the playoffs, and then in the 1999-2000 season they were in the Premier League. So yes, 3 years on the trot, boom, 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 straight up to the top flight. Unfortunately, they finished bottom that year, and they were relegated with Sheffield Wednesday and Wimbledon. So there we go. So good knowledge there from you and Terry. It's a shame. Next time you have to give me a question on the 80s or the 70s, because that's more my kind of era. I don't know what it is. I think I just must have gone into a coma during the 90s and in the early part of
the 21st. It's just the years start to go a bit quicker, and they all just sort of blur into one, don't they?
As they
roll on, don't they?
But well done, you get 2 points for that. And sadly, no one wins the competition, so the gold car will have to be won in next week's competition. Stay tuned for that. Anyway, there we go. Now then, back to business. Now, if Terry were here, I'm sure we'd be having a bit of a chat about his team's miraculous escape from relegation. Crystal Palace, we had a chat with Terry about that before, the preview to their last game against Sheffield Wednesday, which was at the weekend just past. And, of course, for those of you that still don't know, the game finished 2-2. It was a draw, as we suspected possibly that it might be. Palace were in front twice in that game and came back to equalise. Did you see any of it, Graham?
I did. I watched it all. And I was getting quite into it, I must admit.
Yeah.
I mean, it was absolutely gripping. I think less for the quality of football on display and more for just like the whole... nervous excitement about the whole thing that was generated there, and a spectacular display from both teams actually. Wednesday, who I must admit I haven't seen a lot of this season, but from what I understand, have been let down by their finishing, and it seemed to be sort of like encapsulated by their performance against Palace, because they did have chances, and they dominated the game for large periods. But really just couldn't take advantage of quite a lot of opportunities that were presented to them by Palace. But the same could be said for Palace as well. I mean, like, they had periods where they were on top, and they looked extremely nervous even when they looked like they were home and hosed. I don't know how many times Stern John will put on a Palace shirt in the future, but even my wife said at the end, she said as he was dancing around celebrating, "What the hell are you celebrating for?"
That's the sort of thing my mum would have said. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, quite right and quite succinct, I think. Yeah, good for. Yeah, no, I absolutely. I mean, sadly, I found myself criminally away from a TV when that game was going on, which meant I also sort of missed the other games that were going on at the same time, which I'll probably come on to in a moment. But there's a young woman I work with, a woman who works in my office, and she's a Sheffield Wednesday supporter. What are the chances of that working in London? But she's an absolute avid Sheffield Wednesday fan. And I asked her towards the end of last week, what do you make of the chances of Sheffield Wednesday doing well? And she went, well, she said, we're going to put four up front. We're going to have four attackers on the day. I went, you're joking. And I thought, well, I suppose you have to, don't you, really, when you're in Sheffield Wednesday's position. They had to win. And she went, having said that, she said, I'm not saying that they're going to be very good attackers, which, you know, is absolutely redolent with regards to Sheffield Wednesday's position in the league. And as you say, I mean, Crystal Palace had the luxury, if indeed that's the word I'm looking for, that they didn't have to win. Although I think, as we said last week, they'd have been really stupid if they'd have gone into that match not basically aiming to win. If they'd have gone in for the draw, I think they could have been in all kinds of trouble. And to their credit, they got their, I say, they went in the front twice. And Sheffield Wednesday, I don't know if they did have four attackers up front. Maybe somebody can confirm that. Probably Terry or did you get any sort of sense that that was the case? Did they have a kind of 4-2-4 or something?
To be honest, Chris, it wasn't the sort of performance like for the chalkboard purists. There was large periods of lump it up as quickly as you can, interspersed with scrabble around and kick it the hell out. It was pretty much a hit and run, basically. It was and that set the tone for the whole of the 90 minutes. Just good knockabout fun. I mean, you know, these are two sides. I mean, like Wednesday, you know, I don't think they're the sort of team that's going to like you know, go down to League One and struggle to find their level there. I mean, I think they're not a bad team. I don't think they're just playing a bit badly. I think that's a sad thing about it. But as I say, like over 46 games, you know, you can't really lie about that. And so, you know, if you're in the bottom three, you're in the bottom three. You pretty much deserve to be there. Obviously, Palace's situation is a lot different because they would have been mid-table, wouldn't they, if they hadn't got those 10 points deducted?
And had they
not lost most of their good players in January, then they might have made more of a fist and actually been sniffing around the playoff spots. I don't think they would have been, but you know, you can say lots of things about what would have been, could have happened. But
yeah, it's all about ifs and buts and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, but they get to live to fight another day for the moment. What sort of position they'll be in by the time the season starts next campaign is as good as anyone's guess.
I guess the important thing is just that they have survived to live another day, and hopefully they can regroup in the summer break. I mean, it's, as you say, quite what sort of players they can bring in, if any, into the team remains to be seen. We shall no doubt be keeping an eye on that and in time for the next start of the next season and so on. But 37,000 crowd there at Hillsborough, tremendous crowd actually for that game. And as you said, a great atmosphere. And
well, they've been pulling in good crowds all season.
Well, they are, yes.
How they've been playing. But,
yes, they are just one of those teams, isn't it? Like Leeds, who basically you can stick them in any division and you'll always get a big following. So that goes to in their credit. But
and of course, they'll probably end up playing Leeds the next season, won't they?
Well, I mean, they've had five seasons in the Championship, but they've not really kind of set the place on fire, unfortunately. And they've got Alan Irvine as manager, and you sort of think he's a pretty good manager by all accounts, from what I can make of who he is and what he does. So one would imagine, as you say, they probably won't dwell in League One for too long, but quite what it's going to take to get them turned around and actually sort of bordering on sort of promotion back to the Premier League, it's remains to be seen. But that's going to take them a while to rebuild. But well done, Crystal Palace. I mean, Somebody on, I don't know if it was Facebook or something the other day, sort of said, Sheffield, what is it with Sheffield fans? One minute they're moaning, the United fans are moaning that they were cheated out of promotion to the Premier League with the whole Tevez affair, which of course we're not going to mention anymore. No, we're not going to mention that. With the whole West Ham thing. And now they're moaning at Crystal Palace for having cheated Wednesday out of a place in the Championship. And I thought, oh, for God's sake. I think it comes, as you say, it comes down a bit more than that. I think Sheffield Wednesday were struggling anyway, regardless of Crystal Palace's goings on this season. But I mean, just for what the fans have been going through, of course, Terry being one of them, I had complete sympathy with them, and I'm really pleased for the fans, with the sort of innocent party in all this, that that they are going to be staying up to play in the Championship next season. So, well done, Crystal Palace. As we say, Sheffield Wednesday go down to League One with Plymouth Argyle and Peterborough United. At the other end, we now know who's going to be in the playoffs for the Championship to go up to the Premier League. And if I can just find the right button on my screen to bring up the details, then I'll be able Blackpool. To tell you who's playing who. Yeah, well, Blackpool, of course, yes, they got through. Ian Holloway. So we're keeping alive that dream of that they may have played Leicester, his old team. But it's going to be Blackpool and Forest in one semi-final of the playoff, and Leicester versus Cardiff in the other one. So I'm going to make a snap prediction here with my sharp razor-like kind of insight into this. Well, you've got to go for Forest, I think, to be perfectly honest. I mean, I know they've been a bit wobbly at times, but
yeah, I don't know. See, I think Leicester are the ones with the momentum at the moment. They're going in on a really hot streak at the moment. Mm. So,
I only said Forest for their semi-final. I didn't mean outright. Just to make that quite clear. I'm not backtracking or anything. But no, absolutely, yeah. No, Leicester have got the momentum, certainly, yeah. Cardiff, I could be wrong about this, and I'm probably likely to alienate a huge section of our Welsh audience here. But I get the impression that they are one of these teams that sort of generally do push on into the playoff zone and then get there for the end of the season, and then it all just falls apart, and then it goes round in a cycle again the following season. But it'd be good to see them up in the top line, just by way of somebody different that we haven't seen for a while, and as indeed you could say about Blackpool, I suppose. Now I'm going to go for Forest in the first semi, and let's go for Leicester in the other one, and then we'll deal with the final as and when we know who's going to be there.
So a good East Midlands derby for the playoff final, then, you reckon?
Oh, yes,
well, indeed. I'll just say outright, I think Leicester are going to be the team to go through.
You just don't care. You just, after last week, you just don't care, do you? Really? Just jump in with both feet.
I'm picking out predictions out of the air, and, like, you know, I'm just, you know.
Toss them in the air, see how they fall, you know, all that kind of stuff.
And they generally come out right, don't they?
Well, if you say so.
Well, we just don't talk about the wrong ones, do we?
Yeah, not very often. Not as much as I used to. Anyway, I was mentioning the fact that I happened to be away from a TV when Crystal Palace were playing against Sheffield Wednesday, but I was in sight of a radio. I happened to be listening to BBC Radio 5 Live. They were covering somewhat blinkeredly. They were sort of determined to cover the Chelsea-Liverpool game, thinking that it might be important. And which meant I did have to listen to Alan Green for a while. And what can I say? I've only just made a recovery where Terry didn't this week. But but no, they were covering the Chelsea Liverpool game, and of course Chelsea ended up winning that one 2-0. So that in one fell swoop keeps alive Chelsea's hopes of winning. They've still got a 1-point lead over Man United, but also it pretty much ends any faint hope really of Liverpool getting into that fourth spot. They can't do it now. In fact, some people might say they may never even get into the Europa League, but that's another discussion. But what was quite interesting, listening to the commentary actually on that Liverpool-Chelsea game, is that Chelsea seemed to play it really cagily in the early stages of that game. And I think that Mark Lawrenson was the sort of co-commentator, and he was certainly making a lot of talk regarding the fact that if you were going into your penultimate game of the season thinking, like, we've got to win this, there's no kind of, oh, we'll have a draw and maybe win the last game and we should be all right. They had to win that game, and yet started off very cagey, as if, like, well, we'll just pass the ball around for a while. If something happens, something happens. But I suppose, ultimately, your man Ancelotti was sort of proven right tactically, and he was just kind of
a very Italian performance, I think.
Yeah, and also it helps when you've got your man Gerrard just basically gifts a goal by passing back to his keeper. Yeah, It was quite surreal actually hearing that on the radio, because one minute there were, I think somebody had had a shot on goal at the other end. I think Liverpool, I think Gerrard had gone close with some effort or another, and literally within the space of about a minute, it was like, oh, it's gone in. And I thought, what's happened? Tell us, come on, what's happened?
I don't think there were too many Liverpool fans actually shedding many tears over Chelsea winning. It was a bit like have you seen that picture that's doing the rounds from Lazio Inter at the weekend?
No, I haven't seen that. Well, when
Inter scored, the Lazio fans unfurled a banner saying, "Oh no."
Fine. Very understated.
Obviously, because the Inter's main rivals for the title are Lazio's biggest rivals.
Yeah. And I'll have to keep my eyes open for that. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, look out for that one.
Yeah, so Chelsea did get it right, and I think you're absolutely spot on there, Graham. It was a very sort of Italian performance, and Liverpool gifted one of the goals, and Gerrard failed to get his angles and his distances and the power of his
back. He just cocked it up, come on.
All right. Actually, it's just occurred to me, because the last time I saw that wasn't there one earlier in the season? Was it West Ham or somebody? I remember us talking about one. I can't remember now.
I certainly remember Gerrard doing it a couple of seasons back, where he put it in the path of Thierry Henry.
Oh, yes. Yeah. But there was one, I think there was one at the beginning of the season. I'm sure it involved West Ham, but I could be wrong. But, it's amazing how many times. You'd think Gerrard perhaps would be a bit above all that, but there we are. I reckon it's about time he kind of went, don't you? I'm not being funny, but I think now's as good a time as any to leave Liverpool. And let's not even get on the subject of Rafa Benitez. Blimey, it seems to me, you know, I mean, looking back on this season, we'll do a proper end-of-season review, but it just seems to me that whenever I listen to a radio programme or a podcast, it just seems like everyone's talking about how awful Rafa Benitez is and why he should have gone back in about sort of September or something. And I just think, if nothing else, if we get nothing else out of this season, I just hope that during the summer, Rafa just says, do you know what, I think I'll go now. And I think it'll just be a huge relief for everybody. There, yeah,
he's got 4 years to go on his contract. He's not going anywhere. If they want to get rid of him, they're going to have to like drive a big, big, big dump full of cash up to his door and just like, you know, say, here's the first lot, we're going to go back and get some more now.
Well, wasn't it, I don't know if it's Juve or Real, whoever it is that's sort of sniffing around.
It's Juve, isn't it, yeah.
Have basically managed to stump up some cash from somewhere, so saying, look, you know, we can pay him out if we have to.
Well, they're desperate enough for him, so certainly that makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, I just thought, well, if that's what you want to do, not that I'm any expert, but blimey, yeah. But anyway, there we are, going off on one there. But elsewhere, Man United won their game at the weekend. They won 1-0 at Sunderland. So, like I say, 1-point gap going into the last games of the season. And who we got playing who? I think, is it Chelsea have got? Is it Wigan? Yes.
Yeah, they're at home to Wigan. United are at home as well. And I think,
yeah, home to Stoke, so... Yeah, I mean, if logic dictates, then that's going to Chelsea, as we sort of have been saying for many months now.
Yeah,
because of our razor sharp insight and all that.
Of course.
Hull are now absolutely certain of going down mathematically. They drew at the weekend, where of course they needed to win their last two games. So, do you know what? It's really stupid as a West Ham fan, but I actually feel properly relieved now. And that whole thing about...
Because you were expecting the 17-0 win, weren't you?
Oh, no, it's just really kind of irrational, but I just thought, knowing West Ham, something's going to happen. Like, they're going to get deducted a point or something from some kind of dodgy dealing, or, you know, just for out of spite for having two numbskulls like Golden Sullivan in charge or something. But I just thought,
It wasn't enough that Hull were, like beaten and bleeding on the floor. You had to wait until their last breath.
Until they had the final kick in the stomach.
They're finally dead.
Yeah, it's just so stupid. But I'm now...
I can sleep well now.
Yes, exactly, yes. No more sleepless nights. There we are. So Hull, Burnley, Portsmouth down. So that's pretty much that, really. The big news, of course, coming up in the next... I think it's next week, is that we've got the Europa League final coming up, and of course, congratulations to Fulham for getting to the final.
Yes, well done, well done.
Shame Liverpool didn't, But there we go. One of the few teams to be upended by Atletico Madrid this season, I think it's fair to say. But well done to Fulham. They managed to do a job on Hamburg in the semi-final, having already gotten rid of Wolfsburg and Juve as well. So, I mean, it's getting boring now to heap all this praise on Roy Hodgson, but what a tremendous job. Is, you know, we'll add some more to that, I think. He's done a tremendous job, and so they'll be playing in the final, which I think, you may correct me on this, Graham, I think it's next Wednesday. Is that right? The Europa League final?
I'm not too sure, actually.
I think it's certainly very soon.
It is very soon, yeah. The 14th seems to...
So today's the 4th of May, 5th tomorrow, 14th, that'd be Friday, must be the 12th.
Yeah.
Excuse us while we just generally faff about everyone.
It's the 12th, yes.
Right, so there we are. And of course the Champions League final's on a Saturday, which is going to be a real strange experience. But anyway, there we are. So, I mean, did you see any of the Fulham game there, Graham? Sorry, still here with us, Terry, in spirit.
Yes, I did see it. I know he was seeing it. I was talking to him on Twitter about it. yes, I did, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Very, very good game. And really, you know, just another really good performance from Fulham. You know, another sort of what we're getting used to from them now in Europe.
The kind of curious thing is, and I'm sure I'm not the first person to sort of say it, but, you know, the curious thing for me is that it would be really interesting if they could genuinely translate that sort of form into their domestic campaign, say, next season. Because they are, you know, one could argue that they had so many games. But didn't they play something like 60? They've played 60-odd games this season, or I don't know. There's some ridiculous statistic because they started way back in, I don't know, 1944, didn't they, at the beginning of this Europa League campaign. And so, you know, okay, you could argue that they've sort of prioritised these European games over the league ones. But... They're something like 10th, I think, already as we speak, going into the last game of the season. But you just sort of think, you know, if they're that good, they're 11th. I've just seen. If they're that good, maybe they should be doing better in the league next season. But is that being a bit harsh, do you think, or is it just purely a case of that they've sort of focused squarely on the European campaign?
I don't think it's harsh. I mean, I think you've got to look at the teams that are above them and think, well, actually, they're pretty good. So, but they don't seem to be able to fight anything on more than one front. I think it's more of a case that you know, Roy Hodgson has shown himself as a good manager. I mean, he's made his team hard to beat in the league as well as in Europe. And you know, if you're hard to beat, then you're gonna rack up the points. If you look at the league table. You know, there's a lot of clubs down there that aren't even getting a point a game. I think, like, you know, the bottom seven clubs can't get a point a game, and I think all you've got to do is get, you know, what if you're just above that average of 1 point a game, you know, you're comfortably mid table.
Well, it's going to seem far a bit for me to undersell the fact that they're 11th. I mean, as a West Ham fan, God, I wish we were 11th. Yeah. But you see, it's undoubtedly their away form. I mean, only one win out of 18 away from home. But, I mean, you know, speaking, I suppose, optimistically on behalf of Fulham fans and logically, hopefully your chairman there will probably sort of say, well, okay, well, it looks like we have got a good team capable of doing things. Maybe now's the summer to go and splash out some money on some new players and strengthen the squad. We've got a sort of viable bit of potential there that they're starting to fulfil. So... You know, I don't know. Maybe they will buy a few players in the summer.
Or cash in on your players that have put themselves in the shop window.
Yeah, well, there is that, I suppose, as well. Some of which will be at the World Cup.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what Al-Fayed's ambitions are with that club, and I wouldn't want to guess what they are.
My point, I guess, is just that purely in years gone by when they've had, I mean, far be it for me to mention Chris Coleman in his hour of dire need, but when they've had sort of previous managers, you sort of think, if I were the chairman, I'm not sure I'd be prepared to sort of throw too much money at sort of buying new players. Whereas,
I mean, how many seasons was it between Middlesbrough getting to the UEFA final and then going down?
Oh, it wasn't that long. It was only about sort of... Was it three seasons or something? Was it?
Was it even that long?
Yeah, maybe not. You're asking me another question about the 1990s and the 2000s. I told you not to do that, Graham.
I think it's basically that fortunes change quite quickly, don't they? So,
Well, yes, there is that. one has to be prudent in these times of economic strife, etc. So there we go. I mean, Fulham win their semi-final, or won their semi-final last week, 2-1 on aggregate. Or was it the week before? I'm just losing track. It's, the season can't come. they can't finish soon enough.
That's the most important thing.
Yes, that's right. They won 2-1 on aggregate. The second leg was the 2-1. It was goalless after the first leg. And Liverpool, rather surprisingly, I thought, failed to get through to the final. Obviously, they would have played Fulham. It was 2-1 after extra time in the second leg. But yes, after away goals. It's Atletico Madrid that go through to the final. Do you know much about Atletico Madrid? Is it worth me asking you anything about Atletico Madrid, Graham?
I watched quite a bit of the game, and I was lucky enough to see all of the goals in that fixture. But it was. Mainly because two were scored in extra time, weren't they?
Yes.
But, I mean, Atletico Madrid don't look that good, but Liverpool just didn't seem to know how to beat them. And I think that's the best way that I can describe it. But it was very interesting because I caught the last part of Atletico's previous round against Valencia, and Valencia seemed to have the same problem. They just didn't know how to beat Atletico.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And they were firing everything at them at the end, and they just looked desperate. I mean, like, you know, Valencia, they're third, they're a long way third in La Liga, but they're after the big two, they are the best team in that division, and they just didn't seem to be able to handle Atletico. I mean, obviously, like Atletico, they're mid table, they're sort of like, you know, in Spain. As far as, like, you know, the Spanish league is concerned, they're in a very similar position with a very similar record to Fulham.
I can say, actually, yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's going to make for an interesting final. Just to see, I mean, I think because Atletico got there through the Champions League route, didn't they?
Yes, that's quite right, actually, yes.
So they haven't had as many games to get to where they are. As Fulham have, but I really don't know if that's going to make any difference to it in the end. But it should be a good game, and hopefully Roy, and now he's got to the finale, can turn on
the charm.
Yeah.
Yes, actually, I
like it this way. I'm much happier seeing Fulham play Atletico Madrid than them playing Liverpool. Give them all the spotlight, because if they'd got to the final and they played Liverpool, you know, it would have been all focused on Liverpool. So good luck.
Yeah.
To
yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Right. Well, having divulged in all that kind of stuff, I think we need to start bringing this all together, putting a line under this. Just to say thanks very much indeed for listening once again. That's our kind of review of the happenings in the last week. And, of course, you must join us next week for our review of the season, and where we'll be picking through the bones of the last week of fixtures in the Premier League and elsewhere. And, of course, beyond that, we'll be starting to turn our attention towards the World Cup. But we'll give you more on that nearer the time. Just need to do the usual business at the end of these podcasts, as you know by now. You can contact us, and please do, on Twitter. You need to be looking for Sound of Football. Our email address is sofpodcast@googlemail.com, soon to be changing to gmail.com if I read the technical news stories this week. They've now got their... Have you seen that one, Graham? About they've now got the rights to use Gmail rather than Google Mail.
Oh, right, okay.
They weren't allowed to when they first... Anyway, I'm just going off on a tangent there, by the way. So, email address sofpodcast@googlemail.com. Our blog site address is soundoffootball.blogspot.com. And don't forget, as we always say, your presence will be very welcome at the next Socrates Football Bloggers Meetup. This is the fourth event we've had, and the next one is on May the 12th, 2010. So if you're anywhere near London...
It's the Europa League final.
That's why
it's familiar.
We organised it that way, didn't we? Yes, that's right. It's all coming back to me like a bad dream. So if you'd like to join other people like yourself, if you happen to be a blogger or a podcaster in a football sort of sense, or
maybe if you're just a hot chick.
Yeah, yeah. If you just sort of happen to be free on the night, then you know, just get in touch with us.
No pressure.
Yeah, but I'll be the one with the dark hair and the blue jacket on. You need to go to our blog site, which is socratesmeetup.blogspot.com. And failing that, just type in Socrates bloggers meetup into Google. You should find it one way or the other, I should think. The event, as ever, is being sponsored by our good friends at Pick Live Football. And there'll be food and drink and all kinds of stuff laid on for you. So even if you can't find anyone to talk to, you will at least leave the evening well-fed and possibly drunk. So there we are. Anyway, that's it for this week. Thank you very much indeed for listening. And, we haven't seen... Old Soccer Jens, actually. Maybe he's unwell as well. I don't know. But anyway.
That would be unfortunate if Terry and Soccer Jens are unwell this weekend.
I know. I mean, we're struggling to get any kind of credibility to this particular episode of this Sound of Football podcast. But anyway, there we are. We'll leave it at that anyway. Yeah, thanks very much, Graham, anyway, for your company. And hope to have the pleasure of your company, all of you, next week for another Sound of Football. Until then, it's goodbye.
Goodbye.